If you have your Bibles, I would like to encourage you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. And I will be reading from verse 1 through 9. For many of those of you who have read your Bible, you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. And I want to give God praise and thanks for allowing me to select this passage here to speak this evening. So I will ask you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I will be reading from the English Standard Version Bible. Please feel free to read any other version that you have, whether you're reading from an electronic or a King James. Feel free to follow along. Before we do read God's Word, I'll ask you to join with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, this evening that we can gather in your name, the name that is above every other name, the name that is worthy of all praise and worthy of glory and worthy of honor. Lord, we can do nothing without you, absolutely nothing, but all things that we were able to do with you, Lord, because you're the one who lead us, you're the one who guide us, direct us, protect us, watches over us, keep us. Lord, you go before us, beneath us, above us, and so we want to give thanks to you this evening, Lord, for blessing us and for allowing us to meet in this place here this evening, Lord, and thank you for those that are able to join us in person, and God, as we, and for those that are online, continue to support us, and so we give thanks and praise to you, Lord, as we come this evening and ask your leading and ask your direction. Lord, as we look into your word in this book of Joshua, chapter 1, we pray, God, that through the power of your Spirit, that you will speak to us, that you will make known your ways to us, Father. Whatever is there, God, this evening, Lord, that you need to prune, whatever is there in our lives, that God, that you need to remove, God, we pray that your word and your Holy Spirit will have its rightful place in our life. Convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Lord, have your rightful place in our lives this evening as we surrender our hearts and our lives to you. And so we pray, Lord God, that self will not be seen, but that your name will be glorified and that you will be lifted up. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is God's word, and we give thanks to the Lord for his word today. The title of my message today is, I Will Be With You. This is the same word God reminded Joshua of and also encouraged him that he will be with him. It is a promise made with Abraham. It is a promise made with Isaac. It is a promise made with Jacob. It is a promise that is now God is going to make with Joshua. And at the same promise today, finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, that each and every one of us can continue to lean on and trust in. As we look forward to the year that is ahead of us, there is only one thing that we can be certain of, brothers and sisters, is that of God's promise to be with us, would be with you and be with me. So I would like to start with these two quotes from C.S. Lewis. And the first quote is it's going to be on the screen there. And the first quote says this, this is C.S. Lewis. As I was meditating and praying and putting this message together, I came across these phrases. "There are far, far better things ahead than we leave behind." And you may wonder why I choose such a phrase to a quote to use in my message here this afternoon. Because as I was preparing it, it reminds me of the children of Israel. This was not the case with the children of Israel. And listen to it again that Lewis says, "They are far, far better things ahead than we leave behind." This was not the case for the children of Israel. They were always looking back. If we read the Genesis, the Exodus, the Leviticus, the Deuteronomy, the five book of Moses before they came to this passage that we are looking at tonight, you will see that the children of Israel has been consistently complaining and murmuring before God. They always look back. They always go back from whence they came. When they hit a difficult experience in the wilderness, they kept going back to the things they enjoyed as slaves in Egypt. They were not seeing themselves as free, but as people that were still in bondage. Even though God set them free, they still felt as if they were in bondage. Their consistent complaint, their failure to trust God and trust in His promises. And God pronounced a judgment upon them that all those who came out of Egypt 20 years and over and under will never enter the land, the promised land, never will experience the promise of God. They will never enter the blessing of the Lord because they could not leave the past behind. Now I want to take a minute here and ask each and every one of us that are watching online and that are here today, how many of us are willing to leave our past behind and press, as Paul says, press towards the mark of the high calling of God? And I believe that is the message that God wants to give us today in this new year as we leave 2021 behind and all the experiences and all the hurts and all the pain and all the struggles and all the things that we have experienced. God is saying to you and me today to leave those things behind. Numbers chapter 14, and this is just to give you a glimpse of the children of Israel. And how today we, some of us, can put ourselves even in the minds of the children of Israel. Numbers 14 and verse 1 through 4 says, "Then all the congregation raised a loud cry," that is the children of Israel. "And the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" What the people were saying to Moses, what the people were saying to God, that "We don't need you anymore as a leader. We don't need your leadership. We don't need your guidance. We don't need your protection. We don't need your direction over our lives." And what the people were saying to God, that "We don't need you anymore in our lives." The Christian life, brothers and sisters, is not an easy road to walk. But you can be certain of this one thing, that your walk is not alone. Because God is with you. He promised to be with you. He promised not to leave you nor forsake you. But yet again, when you look at the children of Israel, God was with them in the day and in the night. God was in every minute and every moment of their lives walking and leading them along. Yet again, they turned their back on God. And the question that I need to ask us over and over in this message: where are you in your walk and in your relationship with Christ? Where are you in your walk, in your relationship with Christ? Do you allow the things of the world or your pain or your struggle or difficulties to hinder that walk with God? And so many of us, brothers and sisters, we live our lives in the past like the children of Israel, failing to allow God to be in control. As we approach this new year that is ahead of us, let us, brothers and sisters, put our hope and trust in a living God who is able to keep you. And as I look back this past year, we are thankful. We're thankful for Living Hope Community Church, and God has brought each and every one of you into our lives, those that are watching us online and those that are here today. God has brought each and every one of you into our lives. God has allowed us to enter into the homes of so many of you that are joining us week after week on Facebook and on YouTube. Many of you join us each week via Zoom for our Monday night life group, our women's coffee chat, our men's fellowship, our youth program, and our kids program, and even our podcast, because God has made it possible for us to be here and to be in your home and for you to be part of us. And we're so thankful for the relationship we built and the support that we have received from Ajax Lighthouse and also from Hebron Community Church. Pastor Oliver and his team is here this afternoon. You saw them worship at us. And we just want to say thank you that God has brought you in our lives. And we will continue to trust God that our relationship will grow and we will be light and witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which is why I love the next quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, "You can't go back and change the beginning. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." And I believe that this quote from C.S. Lewis is true to those who put their trust in Christ. Joshua, in the end, had these words to say. In Joshua, in the last chapter, he says at the end of it all, Joshua said, "God has been faithful to all his promises." But then he turned to the children of Israel. And he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord, brothers and sisters, because when everything fails, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, will never fail. Everything will fail, but Jesus will never fail. And that is one thing that you can be certain of this afternoon, this evening. You see, Joshua could have chosen to allow the children of Israel and the other nation to discourage him from following and walking after God, to walk in the obedience of God and to walk in God's, in obedience to his word. But Joshua chose not to. He was willing to make every sacrifice to trust God and to trust in his promises. And as I was listening to Pastor Noah last night preaching in Joshua chapter 24, and he was listing out the 10 top resolutions for 2020. And thank you for that message, Pastor Noel. Not once was there a mention of people that were desiring to serve God of the 10 most resolutions that are made. Not one made a resolution to serve God more wholeheartedly or to spend more time with God. God was completely out of the picture. And we live in a world where God is out of the picture in many people's lives. But I believe that many of us feel that we're in control of our lives, but we're not. And the children of Israel could have changed the ending, but they never allow God to be the center of their lives. That is the reason why when I read that quote from C.S. Lewis, that you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the end. Allow God to come into your life. Allow God to come into your home and be the center of your life. So what about you today, brothers and sisters? I will let you ponder on this question and look deep down in your heart to see if Christ is truly Lord of your life. Is Jesus Christ the center of your heart? And are you willing to deny, like he says, if you are going to follow me, if you are going to be my disciple, you will deny yourself, take up your cross. Self-denial is important, and follow me. It is not going to be an easy road, brothers and sisters, but it's going to be a road that is certain, and it's going to be a road that is guaranteed where God is leading. You see, the book of Joshua, without the book of Joshua, the book of Deuteronomy would have been incomplete. The children of Israel were now going through a transition. That is, from a nomadic people who were wandering the desert for 40 years. They were now going to finally settle as a nation. For the first time, they would be able to have a place, a piece of land, and a place to which they will call home. You see, the book of Joshua is also about the transition, not only about them transitioning from being nomadic to a place where they can settle, because it was God who was doing such a work in their life, but it's also transition one leadership, which when you read the first passage, the leadership one servant of the Lord to another. A title first used, a servant of the Lord used for Moses. And now God was now going to use that same title to Joshua. You see, the death of Moses was not the end, brothers and sisters. The death of Moses marks God's final judgment on the children of Israel. God was now going to use Joshua to now fulfill that promise, his promise. And the opening verse of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, he says, Moses, my servant is dead. God didn't have to remind Joshua that Moses is dead. God was just now telling him that it's now time to move on. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. After 30 days of mourning, which is in Deuteronomy 34, over the death of Moses, we are presented with the account that God appeared to Joshua, not only to commission him for the task that was ahead of him, but also to encourage and assure him that his leadership, Joshua, your leadership, and everything that you do in your life from this day forward must be solely dependent on me, on your God, and on your King. And that is the same word God is giving to us today. That if we are going to look forward for the year that is ahead of us, we must be completely surrender. We must completely surrender our lives to Jesus. We must completely depend on Him. You see, the death of Moses does not mean that God ceases from fulfilling His promise. Brothers and sisters, hear this today. God will always bury his faithful, but his work here on earth must continue. God will continue to raise up godly men and women to carry on the work. And this is what God is saying to us, that the work of God is never about a man. It's never about a woman. It's never about Mark or Oliver or any one of us, but it is about God. And it's always about God. And Joshua will learn for himself, for him to succeed is that he must learn to trust in God. For him to succeed, Moses, he must learn to trust in God. And not only to trust, but to put his complete trust in God. The question is, do you know what is it to put your complete trust in God? So what do we know a little about Moses? Moses lived for 120 years, the first 40 years. He lived as the prince of Egypt, in Egypt, could not stand to see his people being mistreated, killed an Egyptian and fled for his life. The next 40 years he spent at the back of a desert tending sheep, not knowing where God will lead him. But God had a greater plan for him. On one day God shows up on the scene and says, God, Moses, you are now going to be my leader to lead my people. And then the remaining 40 years, Moses spent leading the children of Israel to the promised land. And Deuteronomy ends with the death of Moses because of the children of Israel murmuring and complaining. Moses sinned against God, and that cost him the promised land. But God gave him the privilege to see the promised land, but he will never enter in. And that was the final judgment on the children of Israel, that every one of them will die. And even Moses, until God will move Joshua forward. And the book of Joshua, like I said, is not only a continuation from Deuteronomy chapter 34, but it also speaks of God's final judgment on the children of Israel. God not only fulfilled his promise to bless them with the possession of land, or with the possession to possess the land of Canaan, but also to fulfill his promise, God's promise to bring about his judgment upon the generation that came out of Egypt. And why would God cause such a judgment to come upon the children of Israel? Because of the hardness of their heart. Numbers 13 will give us an account of that. Moses sent 12 spies out to spy out the same very land. And they came back, one from each tribe, and each one of them came back. And 8 out of those 12 complaining, and they came back and they said that the fruits are nice and beautiful. The report was that the people are strong, the cities and the walls are great and very large, and we saw descendants from Anak, which are giants, and we cannot go against them. And how many times, brothers and sisters, if we are going to pause this evening and look at our problems and react the same way when we see things come into our lives, like the children of Israel, when they saw the cities and they saw the walls and they saw the giants and they saw everything else, they turn and says, God, we cannot go out. And sometimes we treat God as if our problem is greater than our God or bigger than our God. And that is exactly what the children did. And then the people rebel. Earlier on, we just read how they rebel against God. And Joshua and Caleb responded that they knew of God. They knew of in whom they put their trust in. They were certain that no matter if there are giants, no matter if there are walls, no matter if there are things to prevent them, that they may look at their problems and say it's not possible, but they trust in a God that is able to do the impossible. And number 14 says, the land which we passed through, this is Joshua account to the children and to Moses. He said, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land, he said to the rest of the children of Israel. God will bring us into this land. God will give it to us, a land that will flow with milk and honey. And Joshua said to them, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the Lord for the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. Joshua said, don't look at your problems, but look at the God that is greater than your problems. And that is how, brothers and sisters, we need to look at this year that is ahead of us. When we see our problems, when we see difficulties, when we see things that we may believe that it is not possible, I believe that God is saying to every one of us here today is just trust in him, because he is able to do exceedingly, as the Bible says, abundantly and above. He is able to do the impossible. I want to say this evening here that as a lack of faith always leads to doubt, and doubt brings about a faith, bring about distrust in God and lack of faith in God. And we too sometimes find ourselves in such a situation to doubt God, doubt his word, doubt his promises. Have you ever find yourself in such a place in your life, not willing to trust God for who he is? But look at God's response to the children of Israel. How long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? Numbers 14. I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, I have, as I live, declare the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do it. And it's the children of Israel that caused this upon themselves. Your dead body shall fall in the wilderness, and of all your numbers listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me, hear what God says to them. Not one of you shall come into the land where I swore that I will make you dwell, except Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said will become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall be shepherded in the wilderness for 40 years and shall suffer for your faithfulness, your faithlessness, until the last of your dead bodies lie in the wilderness. God, final judgment on the children of Israel. And the children of Israel brought such a judgment on themselves. And all those who came out of Egypt except Joshua and Caleb and their families and those 20 and years under are now going to possess the land. And this is God's promise to us here this evening. God said to Joshua in chapter 1, and after Joshua and the people of Israel spent 30 days of mourning, God shows up to encourage him. And now Joshua is 80 years old. He was 40 years old when he came out of Egypt with Moses. And he spent the next 40 years with Moses in the wilderness. And now he's going to spend his next 30 years leading the children of Israel. But his leadership is not just going to be his knowledge and his experience that he walked with Moses, but it will be a complete trust in God. How many times do we trust in our own strength and in our own wisdom and in our own knowledge and the things that we possess and believe that we can do the things that God has called us to do? And sometimes we want to put those things forward before we allow God to work in our lives. And before we can surrender ourselves, we want to try out our own ability to do the things. But God wants us to trust in Him. And that is how God is going to put Joshua to the test. And that is exactly what God is saying here to Joshua. And Joshua had to be reminded that God is the one who he needs to look to. God is the one who is leading, and He will always the one keep His promise. Dr. R.C. Sproul has this to say, that even when everything around us seems to testify to the futility of our lives, causing us to lose hope, we are in a covenant relationship with God, brothers and sisters. Therefore, we are people who live by trust in His promises, God's promises. We break our promises to one another. We break our promises to God, but God never breaks His promises to us. Throughout history, God has demonstrated that He is supremely trustworthy. That is why, in one sense, nothing could be more foolish than not to trust in the promises of God. And if there is one thing that you will leave here this evening with, and for those that are watching on television, you can trust in God, brothers and sisters. Nothing could be more foolish than not to trust in His promises. And hear what God said to Joshua. After Moses died, He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving you." And if you read the book of Joshua, like Brother Noel read last night, Joshua 24, you will see how many times God says, I am the one who is doing this. God says, I am giving to them, to the people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Not that you're going to go and then I'm going to give to you. No, it is a promise that is already being made and sealed, so that you can walk in the promises of God. And those are the same things that we have in Christ today, that we have His Word and we have God's Word, that we can lean on and we can trust. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses from the wilderness and to the Lebanon as far, Joshua, the great river Euphrates. The same promises, brothers and sisters, when you look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Genesis 12 and verse 7, Genesis 13, 17, 26, Genesis 28, 35, God continue to repeat the same very promises. And now He is saying, Joshua, I am going to fulfill that promise. And that land was before Joshua for him to prove that God was going to fulfill His promise. Well, how would Joshua know that God is going to fulfill His promise until he stepped forward and step out from where he is to where God wants him to be. And that is exactly what God wants to do in your life, brothers and sisters, to step out from where you are and step into where he wants you to be so that you can trust him. Start trusting in yourself and trust in his faithfulness, trust in his goodness and his righteousness, not in your own righteousness, but trust in him. And wherever you are in your walk and in your relationship with Christ and you're struggling, brothers and sisters, God is saying to leave your past and leave your struggle and leave your pain and everything and just trust in him and allow him to be in control of your life. God wanted Joshua to take possession of the land. It was not going to be something that would be easy, but he would have had to trust in God. Yes, the road, the Christian life is not an easy life to live. There is pain, there is hurts, there are heartaches, there are so many things. It's not a bed of roses. It is not a bed of roses. Jesus said, because they do it unto me, they will do it also unto you. You will suffer as a Christian. You will face persecution as a believer in Christ. And Joshua knew that the road would not be easy, but he knew in the God in whom he put his trust in is able to keep him. The challenge was not only to take possession of the land, brothers and sisters, but in the midst of enjoying the blessing of God, they must learn to walk in obedience to God. What do you find today happening in our world? It's that people want to enjoy the blessing of God, but yet again, sometimes they don't want to walk in obedience to Christ. They don't want to walk in obedience to his word and to his command. And all you hear is about blessing and prosperity. And that's it, and that's all it is, but not the blessings of God to walk in obedience to him. And those are the conditions God will place into Joshua. And Joshua knew there were seven great nations, seven great cities with walls and peoples like giants that he had to go against. Plus, he had to be the commander of chief to lead God's people to take possession of the land given to them. And I believe that Joshua may have been struggling and pondering over in his mind how to move on and how to move forward as Moses' successor. And many times we are there in our lives as well. And over those 30 days of mourning, Joshua may have been thinking over and over in his mind if God is going to be with him as he was with Moses. How many of us sometimes are in that place in our life that sometimes we know of what God says in his word, but we find it very hard to trust in him? We find it very hard to say, Lord, because you said it, I believe it, and I will trust in you. And sometimes we believe that God's word is not what he said it is. How many of us sometimes turn back and feel that way in our lives when we are faced with difficult situation? How many of us have been there at some point in our lives, you just don't know how to move forward in your life? And it could be due to the loss of your job. It could be you're struggling financially. It could be that you have a broken relationship. It could be that you're going through a divorce. It could be the loss of a loved one. And there could be a million and one reason. The point is, whatever that situation was or is, you just can't find yourself to be able to move forward in your life. And you feel as if you have lost all hope and all dreams. And you feel as if the entire world is shattered on you and you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm certain that most of us have been there at some point in our lives. Or in fact, some of us are there even right now and are going through that right now. But I would like to encourage you not to lose hope, brothers and sisters, not to give up, not to throw in the towel. But what do you do? How do you move forward? How do you turn for help? These are all questions that plague our minds. And when you're not sure how to move forward or to move on, what do? You have to stop looking around, brothers and sisters, and look to God. With Christ, there is hope, my friend. 700 years before Christ came, Jesus reassured his people with these words from Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 41, and those words are for us today. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed or discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, every day God takes our hand and leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That David could have said, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Yes, I know of the God in whom I serve. Paul says, I'm confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. And then Isaiah would say the same very words again in Isaiah 43. When you pass through the rivers, God says, or whatever it is, you can change the word river there to your struggle, to your pain, to your heart, your heartache. God says, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, it shall not burn, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. What a promise! What a promise that we can trust that in a God who is able, brothers and sisters. God says, I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God said to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And let me close with these two words, these words. In those promises, hear what God is saying to Joshua. I will be with you to counsel you, to advise, to guide, to direct, to protect, to defend in your success. And when you prosper, even when you fail, even when you falter and stumble, even when your back is against the wall, even when you feel as if there is no way to turn to or no one to turn to, God says he will be with you, brothers and sisters. It is a promise that you and I can hold on to this afternoon, this evening. Not only in that promise that I will not leave you, but God says, I will not fail or I will not forsake you. God said to Joshua in these words, if you were to understand the verse, basically God was saying, I will cause my presence to be with you. I will be with you in your going out and in your coming in. When you go against your enemies, I will give you the strength to overcome, to strengthen, to fight every battle. And sometimes we forget that God is the one who fights our battle, because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He fight our battle for us. And that is the assurance and that is the promise that we have of a living God. But the condition is, for Joshua, there was only one condition. God says, be strong and courageous. Read the latter part of Joshua 6 through 9. Three times God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, and do not let the word, the law of my word, out of your mouth. Walk in obedience to my word. And as you look toward the year that is ahead of you, brothers and sisters, the next 12 months, what will keep you is God. Word and God's promise and God's faithfulness, if you put your hope and trust in him. What are you going to do with God's word from this day forward? How many of us spend time reading his word? How many have spent time walking in obedience to him? Joshua only had the 5 books, the law of Moses given to him. He didn't have the Old Testament or the New Testament. All he had was the promises. All he had the word that God commanded him. Today you and I have the Bible, but yet again, we don't spend time reading it. Some people just leave it there and don't pick it up. And only when it's useful for them, then they find use for it. That's not the way it works, brothers and sisters. You have to read the word. You have to spend time. You know, going back, Brother Noel, to those 10 things, if someone could have said that I want to spend time more reading God's word, it will benefit them more than saying I want to lose weight and I want to look good. Because at the end of life, it's all about what God wants to do in your heart and in your life, brothers and sisters. And I trust and pray for us to be reminded of what God is saying to us today. Take time out to read his word and spend time with him and walk in obedience to his word. And in closing, to live a victorious Christian life is for us to spend time in God's word. You will find that you will be able to live a victorious Christian life when you take time to read God's Word. My encouragement to you and for the year that is ahead is to trust God and walk in obedience to Him and His Word. And there is much for us to do, brothers and sisters. There's much for us to do in this community in which we live to win the lost for Christ. But we are certain, like the Apostle Paul said, or we're confident of this one thing, Brother Pastor Oliver, that He who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it to the end. God is faithful. And if you trust Him, you will see that God is faithful. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and thank You, God, for once again reminding us of the life of Joshua and how he walked in obedience to Your Word, God. For him to be successful, for him to enjoy such blessing and to possess the land and to lead the people. Lord, he had to depend on You and upon Your Word. And I pray, God, as You have called us as a community in this area here to shine light, God, is that we must walk in obedience to Your Word and live our lives so that we can be light and witness to a world that is dying, for a world that is in darkness. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us that are here today, that are in person and that are watching online, God, will surrender their lives to You, to recommit, rededicate their hearts to You, oh God. Lord, not to look because of what they want to achieve by looking good externally, but internally, God. Let them, oh God, so have burden with such a desire in their heart that they can grow spiritually with You and to know You. Not to live a life, oh God, from the outside, but live a life from the inside out so that they can see, that others can see the work that You are doing in their lives. And so we give thanks and praise to You. In Jesus' name, amen.